Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we look at the latest comics and other media featuring the Transformers. In this episode, Skybound starts a new story arc with a new artist in Transformers number 7, and we've also got a little bit of media news. Today is Friday, April 12th, 2024, and this is episode 385 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that will hand-draw faction symbols for food. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
Char, a.k.a. Robo Apollo.
Hi, everyone.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
I'll leave it to Charles to give some hints on my upcoming rant. Let's talk Transformers.
It's a tease. It's just a tease.
Spoiler.
Keep listening. Keep listening, everyone. All right. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the show and help us keep things going. We really appreciate it. If you are not a Donatron and would like to become one, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support, and that's where you can sign up, either on Patreon or PayPal. As a Donatron, you get access to some bonus content. That includes our bonus show, We Like Big Bots, and that's all on our Patreon page. We've got 12 episodes right there. More coming eventually. We'll see. Crossing fingers.
What does the magic eight ball say, Daryl?
It doesn't look good.
Uh-oh.
All right.
What is it?
Well,
outcome negative or something like that? Prognosis negative?
Well, we do have another show, our Transformers Live Play RPG podcast, Empire of Rust. And that's very consistent every 2 weeks. So this week we had episode 112, The Bot Who Escaped. That's out now at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. And then this Monday, for all our Donatrons, you'll get episode 113 a little bit early. So you'll get the bonus uncut version of episode 113 on Monday, a week before the regular version comes out. So that's another perk of being a Transmissions Donatron. You can also buy our exclusive Skybound Transformers number 1 cover. That's with artwork by EJ Sue. You can order that at transmissionspodcast.com/comic. And, you know, we've got those that will ship right out to you. We'll also have some coming at TFCon Toronto in the future. So, yeah, take a look at that. And if you are using toyhacks.com, we've got a 15% off promo code. So you can use this code as many times as you want throughout the month of April. That code is Springer. So save 15% off all your orders at toyhacks.com with our code Springer. And that will work all throughout the month. All right, so that's all the intro stuff. So let's jump in. Before we get into the comic review, we're going to start off with a little bit of media news.
All right, and first up in media news, hey, welcome back to media news, everybody. This has been a while. We should have about 4,000 topics to discuss, but I only see four. So, I mean,
We could have added more, but didn't want to like overload you, Daryl.
I appreciate it. First up, we're going to talk about a vinyl re-release. Is it a re-release? A vinyl release of the original music from the animated series. So I may not actually be a original release. This might be the first release of this.
There's a new song on here. I think it's a re-release, but they've added a song. Wow.
Okay, I don't remember this being on vinyl before, but But yeah, this looks pretty cool. You can pre-order this on Amazon. There is a post that we are highlighting here. It is on. Okay, that's the one.
It's yeah,
music from the anime series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I don't think the tracks are exactly the same.
Okay, so there's a post on Reddit where the I think it's one of the people involved with it. Who is it, Jeremy? The producer?
He said he's the project manager.
Project manager. All right. Well, he's involved with the project, so you some would say he manages it. and he has come to the fandom and said, "Hey, there are two ways that you can order this on Amazon. The one that's being highlighted is kind of the lesser of the two, and they're both the same price. So." If you're on Amazon and you're ordering this thing, make sure you get the version with the 12x12 Matt Ferguson print. Just take a look. That is the one you want. You're going to get more value for your dollar, which apparently is exactly the same regardless of which one you
order. It's an Amazon exclusive, and I think he says it's limited to 2,000 copies.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And when I pre-ordered it, it was the other version, so I went and canceled and got this one.
Right. Very cool. So that looks neat. So yeah, the so you can make sure you can get that, especially for people lovers of the original series and the music, and vinyl lovers. So if you are in that cross section of people, then this is probably right up your alley. Next up, the original G1 series is being screened at a movie theater near you if you're in the States. Very select theaters. And it does say select countries, so maybe other countries. I haven't... I assumed it was only the States because the U.S. gets everything and screw them.
Australia's getting this.
Oh, yes, Australia. Right, great.
Okay. Very convenient for you, right, Daryl?
Yeah.
Yes, extremely convenient for me. Okay, so you will be able to see some of the episodes from the original series, and this is the 84 G1 series. It does say select theaters in the US, UK, and Mexico. So just putting it out there that, you know, we're right here. You don't have to even go far. Like I said, Australia is confirmed as well. And these are going to be streamed on May 15th, May 18th, and 19th. So, it'll be really cool. You'll be able to see some behind the scenes stuff. It's looking really cool. You can get your tickets at TransformersFortiethCinemaEvent.com. And that's today, April, or no, 2 days ago, April the 10th. So
apparently the table read is, they're going to do like a live table read synchronized with the first episode.
Mm-hmm. With wild
voice actors.
That's cool.
And there will also be a preview of the new season of Transformers Earthspark.
Mm-hmm.
So something for the kiddies too.
It looks like in the table read they have Frank Todaro coming to do Starscream. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, if you're gonna have someone, since you can't get Chris Latta, Frank Todaro does an excellent Starscream.
He does. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he was geeking out because he got work with Peter Cullen and Frank Welker and Greg Berger and all those guys.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, gotta put this on your calendar, buy tickets for it.
I wish I could. up next, it's the there's a studio interview with Rise of the Beast composer Jean-Yves Bontan, and with three unreleased tracks. So you can take a look and listen to that. We got the opportunity to interview him as well. So you can take a rewatch to that.
Yeah, that was last year, around this
time. Yeah. Yeah. And lastly, we've got news that John Machida Jr. and Greg Berger joined in the fight with Monroe Tire for the Transformers 40th anniversary promo. So, yeah, the fight against Monroe Tire. No, the fight with Monroe Tire. Whatever it is that Monroe Tire is doing for the 40th anniversary, they are fighting with them.
Wow.
These were cute little videos. If you have not watched these videos yet, they put this like filter over the image to make it look like it's like an old VHS tape. And they have like a father remembering when he was a kid playing with his toys. I think they have it. There's a G1 Grimlock and a G1 Blur and they're doing stuff. And then, Greg Berger and John Machida Jr. are basically narrating throughout the whole video as the toys are fighting and playing with each other. So it's a really fun, cute video. I don't know how it's going to sell tires at Monroe Tires, but it was still a fun video.
That's cute.
Aww.
Yeah.
I wish I had any of those near me. I don't.
I mean, the kid is playing appropriately. There are no weapons. They're all lost. So they have been taken away. Yep.
And apparently, I guess Miss Monroe Tire, there's a chain that, like, there are other chains associated with Monroe Tire, and one of those chains was Mr. Tire, which there is a Mr. Tire right near me, and the Mr. Tire near me is the one where they had changed the billboard and their sign to promote Rise of the Beast last year. Right. So maybe that's why they're doing Transformers promotions, because they're hooked up with Monroe Tire here.
Oh, yeah. Go in and show them a G1 Grimlock and say, yes, I'm here to play with my toys, and see if you get a sizable discount.
An attack attire with it. You're playing.
Yes.
They should have like, they're supposed to have the little photo booth set up where you can take a picture like with with a Transformers frame around you. So I'm going to look for that too. Okay, that's all our media news. So let's get into our comic review.
All right. This month or this week, our comic review is Transformers number 7. This is written by Daniel Warren Johnson. Art by new artist Jorge Corona. Colors by Mike Spicer. Letters by Russ Wooten. Editor is Sean Makowitz. And new editor Ben Abernathy. So, million covers. Do want to point out that Alex Milne has a retailer incentive cover with this issue. And also Olivia Ramondelli, I believe, has one as well.
I'm voting for Alex's. Just to put that out there.
what's the store that his is with, Daryl?
Stadium Comics.
Okay. Yeah, I think you can order it on their website.
Order it there. Yeah.
So
looks great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right.
A buttload of retailer incentive covers.
Yeah, they're taking advantage of new artists and, you know, it's like another number one. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get into the summary.
Spoilers.
Yes. Well, all of our comic reviews are spoiler, but yeah, if you haven't noticed by the title or anything, yeah, spoiler, full spoiler review here. So let's get into the summary here. A battle rages on Cybertron. The Autobots Warpath, Huffer, Cup, and Alita One are outnumbered, but continue to try to complete their mission of getting into a secured building. There's a wide open area that they have to cross to get there, and despite his shields being down to 7%, Huffer takes the rear to try and protect them. They nearly make it when his shields fail and Huffer's blown up. Warpath and Cup continue to cover Alita One, but they also fall as she makes it in. However, their intel was correct, but she did not expect what she saw. In the building, she sees Ultra Magnus nearly disassembled in a large room. On Earth, the USS Henry Harrison aircraft carrier is sailing in the Pacific Ocean when it's ordered to head back towards Washington State. He's told about some giant robots and is off to hunt them. In the volcano that the Decepticons are taking refuge in, Soundwave is called a meeting. Starscream demands to know what's going on, and Soundwave declares that their leadership needs to change. Starscream has led them to a defeat by barely functioning Autobots and humans. So Soundwave has challenged Starscream for leadership, and while Starscream tries to convince the other Decepticons that he's lying. However, Thundercracker says that he's been challenged, and this is their way. So Soundwave blasts Starscream in the shoulder and follows up with a punch to the face. He wasn't ready for this at all, as Soundwave doesn't let up. Thinking that Starscream is nearly beaten, Soundwave asks if he yields, only to get a face full of rocks thrown at him. However, Starscream's comeback is short-lived, and Soundwave begins to level punches on the Seeker. Suddenly, Laserbeak gets in on it as well and pokes out one of Starscream's eyes. After Soundwave calls Laserbeak to him, Starscream tries one last time to talk Soundwave out of this. Soundwave responds, "You kicked my Ravage," and rips some components out of Starscream's midsection before tossing him into the volcano. Facing the other Decepticons, Soundwave says that these parts that he's just ripped out will help heal not only Ravage, but other Decepticons. Then they'll rebuild and destroy together. The other Decepticons cheer Soundwave as their new leader. Back at the Ark, Curly's getting in some target practice when RC tries to talk with her. She's a good shot, and RC demonstrates her marksmanship as well. But RC sees the dark road that Carly's going down and the parallels to her own life. She tells Carly about how her clan was wiped out, but she was saved by Ultra Magnus, and he taught her everything that she knows. However, she was driven by what she thought was justice, but was really vengeance for what happened to her people, and Ultra Magnus died because of that. Carly isn't really moved by the story, and she continues her practice. Inside the Ark, Cliffjumper is talking with Jazz about how Carly hasn't spoke to him since he refused to shoot Starscream. Jazz says that there's never any shame in choosing not to kill, but if it makes him feel any better, Optimus is in a similar situation with Spike. And then we see at the hospital, Optimus in his vehicle mode talking with Spike, who's in a wheelchair. Spike isn't really ready to talk yet, though, and he's just asked for more time. And then as Ratchet and Optimus return back to the Ark, Optimus gets some flashes in his mind of Spike as a baby, but he's being held by Optimus's hand. This causes him to lose control, and he runs off the road and hits a tree. Confused at what happened, Ratchet helps Optimus back to the Ark. Elsewhere in the Ark, Wheeljack is slowly rebuilding the Autobot. It would be going faster, but he accidentally reactivated Skywarp's neural context, and Skywarp is locking Wheeljack out of the required systems. Optimus comes in and asks Wheeljack to work faster if he can. They currently have an advantage over the Decepticons, but it won't last long. Wheeljack says that they'll need something to help find them and something that can fly. And Optimus has a plan for that as he looks into a room of deactivated Autobots and sees Jetfire. Then he says to Soundwave that they're coming for him. To be continued. So I thought this was a really strong issue. After being a little bit disappointed with how issue six ended, I was happy with the start we were getting here. Lots of action on the Decepticon side. And I really liked getting a taste of what's happening on Cybertron. I think that's been missing. I mean, the first six issues were really largely set up for this whole universe. So I like that it started with Cybertron. We kind of see what's going on there. I like seeing Alita 1 kind of leading a team, even though the team mostly got killed. The body count in this series is just insane. But they're Transformers, so hopefully they'll be able to be rebuilt. I thought the art was largely good. The didn't really seem that different from the feel I was getting from Daniel Warren Johnson's art. I mean, you know, it's clearly different, but the same feeling was there. I know Daryl has some complaints. I won't step on his complaints. I'll let him get there. But I was overall really happy with the colors. Consistently were good. That, you know, hasn't changed. we'll say Spike looked a little bit off in the panel with him in a wheelchair. And then the last panel had a lens flare on Optimus eye that just, it did not really look that good to me. But other than that, I was pretty happy. So overall, I really enjoyed the issue, especially the Decepticon stuff. Although also in the writing, I was wondering, how does Optimus know to say Soundwave, I'm coming for you? He doesn't know that Soundwave has taken leadership. That kind of bugged me a little bit, but anyway, that's it. I mean, it was a good issue otherwise. So, Daryl, let's start with you. Since we know that you have some issues, what were your thoughts on the book?
Overall, I like the book. It's a decent story. It's kind of the calm after the storm, mm-hmm. right? So they've had a fight and they're kind of licking their wounds. The Decepticons are reevaluating, right? That's a polite way of putting it. And this issue for me was a real test to see how the new art style was going to take over for Daniel Warren Johnson. And largely, I agree with you. It was quite good. The Daniel Warren Johnson's art during battle sequences was quite dynamic. And that first sequence with the Alita One and her squad was done quite well. And really, it wasn't that jarring at all, except for one specific thing that really bugs me all the time it's done. And it's done, it's been done here, it's been done on the IDW stuff, and it's the fact that it's not easy to do, so I understand why it's done, but it just drives me nuts. And that is when artists use stamps for the insignias. People who have listened to this podcast for a long time know that I have complained about this for a very long time, right? This is a thing that has gone on in IDW, and now here we are with the second person on art duties for Transformers in on the main title, and we're already getting stamps. It's lazy. I'm going to say it. It's just lazy. The insignias are very difficult to draw. I will agree with that. I've spoken with artists, right? I spoke with Alex Milne, who, when we were talking at TFCon Los Angeles, he said, yeah, they're hard to do. But he himself came up with a shorthand way of doing it. So it was easy. It didn't have to be exact, but it was a really clever way of doing it. I spoke with Bob Budiansky at TFCon Los Angeles. And I said, you are, as an artist, how difficult is it to draw these insignias? And he said, oh, they're impossible. They're impossible. And anytime I can avoid them, I do it. But they are impossible. Right. And I said, yeah, okay. So I understand how artists use these stamps because you got to get a deadline, but they stand out so harshly that you got to be able to figure out a way to get them to kind of blend in, because you've got all this grainy texture over your art and then you've got these flat colored stamps, and it just makes them look terrible. And sometimes you're not getting the angle right, and it's just, they're not centered or something like that, and it just looks bad. So please figure out a way to get these insignias to work, because it's just doing my brain cannot handle these insignias, especially this early on in the series. Other than that, I loved it. The book was great. But the insignias are going to drive me fucking mental. So we got to get a handle on this, guys.
Well, Daryl, you might not be winning any artists to your side when you're calling them lazy for doing it. So, you might want to change your choice of words there if you want them to do it. You went on to list all the reasons why it's difficult for them to do it, and then you still called them lazy. So, you know,
I'm saying I understand why it's lazy, but you also had previously had Daniel Warren Johnson doing writing and art, and he still drew them.
He had a year head start, though.
It could also be, you know, if they're not comfortable doing it yet, you know, kind of Hasbro's like, you know, you have to have the insignia, so you're going to, you know, use the stamp, but hopefully he does get more comfortable with them, because and I really enjoy like what Alex Milne did, kind of the insignia were kind of expressive throughout what's happening to the characters. And, you know, yeah, we know that's not really, you know, if they were like, if it was on screen, that's not how it would have been. But I think in comics that works really well and kind of adds to the scene. All right. Char, what was your thought on the book? I know you're probably affected because, you know, your favorite character doesn't really have the best experience in the book.
Yeah. No, I mean, I liked it overall. You know, I overall liked the art. I do agree with Daryl. I mean, I'm an artist, so I will say this. Like, I do think if you are using a stamp, at least, like, change it a little bit so it's more integrated into the artwork. And it looks like they did this on the panel a little bit with Optimus Prime standing like on the last page. Like, it looks like they tried to like add textures to it, so that's great. It's like, at least do that, like change it up a little bit so it doesn't look so obvious and it does match the style more. No, I liked this artwork. It was very expressive. I agree. I really liked seeing the Cybertron stuff. I liked seeing Alita One, you know, leading a team. And that whole scene, it was really interesting seeing the Decepticons, you know, kind of shake out, you know, the leadership. And, you know, they kept that going, you know, from, you know, the original canon material where it's like, you know, you can challenge leadership, you know. And I thought that was really cool to see that. Yeah, it looks like Starscream. I don't know if I think they mentioned Sparks in this, and correct me if I'm wrong, so I'm wondering if what Soundwave ripped out of Starscream was his spark chamber. It was hard for me to tell. It looked like some sort of engine. And I know, you know, I know we saw him fall into a volcano, but we didn't see him die. So we'll see what happens. But also, this series has not really cared about who it kills off. And, you know, so that might be the end of him, you know. And, you know, and it was, the art was, you know, I think stylistically overall the same. You know, it's very gruesome, like with Laserbeak gouging out Starscream's eyeball. I was like, oh, like it kind of cringed at that. But it, no, I really enjoyed it. And I liked seeing that Skywarp, like, is still, like, has his personality still, even, you know, because it was kind of really sad what happened to him. And that was some comedic relief in a way when we were on the arc with Wheeljack and whatnot. So no, and I know when we reviewed the last issue, you know, Daryl, you'd brought up a point like about Spike's dad like walking into the spark. Well, we're seeing now the results of that, which is, you know, he has his memories, you know. So, you know, because like, why would he flash back, like, look, like, imagine holding baby Spike, like, he wasn't even around when Spike was a baby. So you know, maybe his dad's like living on in Optimus or something, you know, or they're like integrating, you know, into each other. So that was kind of random to me, and I don't know how this is going to serve plot point wise, you know. You know, because Optimus, you know, if we're looking at it, this, he's really not completely himself. Like, he's now got this human in his spark, and he's got, or in the Matrix, which is his spark now, and then he's got Megatron's arm. So, it's really interesting how he's like slowly not becoming himself. You know, so I don't know if that's going to tie into the plot later on, you know, otherwise I don't know why they would be doing these things. So, yeah, but I'm excited to see where it goes. Yeah. And then, you know, I think Optimus, the reason why he brought up Soundwave was because he's tried talking to Soundwave about, you know, hey, like, let's come to a truce. Like, because he knew he couldn't negotiate with Starscream. Like, he knew that. Like, Starscream's a lost cause in Optimus's mind. But Soundwave, you know, is logical. And, you know, I think Optimus realizes that Soundwave is the only one. You know, even Soundwave said he cares about the Decepticons. Like, in this issue, he's like, we're going to be doing this together. He says together more than once. I think he says it like four times or something. So he is really about, like, helping the Decepticons. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah. I'd forgotten that he tried to negotiate with Soundwave at the end of the last issue. That's a great point. And I'm pretty sure Starscream isn't gone for sure. I mean, Starscream, out of every character, never seems to stay dead.
Yeah. He might come back as a ghost, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, so. Yeah. But I know when you brought up Charles in the last show, it's like, when's Megatron showing up? Like, you know, it's like, when, like, it's so weird he's not in it yet.
If I had to predict, I would think it would be at the end of this arc where you get like an appearance of Megatron, and he's gonna be the focus of the next arc. In my mind, that's how I would do it. But yeah, all right, Charles, what did you think of the book?
I think I have the same sentiments as all you guys. I really enjoyed it. The stamps never really bothered me that much. So, I mean, I understand Daryl's frustration there. But I just don't share that frustration. So it's okay for me. But everything else, I thought Jorge Corona's art is really good and really a good match for Daniel Warren Johnson's style and storytelling. So I thought that was well done. The one thing I will say about that is humans do look significantly different from Daniel Warren Johnson's humans. So, you know, I could immediately tell with Carly and Spike that the artist has made different stylistic choices with the humans. Like, Carly's eyes are much bigger and more expressive than Daniel Warren Johnson's eyes in the previous arc. Jorge Corona's art style for the humans actually reminds me a lot of Priscilla Tramontano from back in the IDW days. Yeah, which is not a bad thing. I thought that her art was great. So, all the bots and cons are rendered lovingly here in this book. I was interested to see that the military is aware of the Transformers, so. Because we do get, you know, we know that in Duke takes place 6 months later. So I'm wondering, like, what the military or the government does to cover up all these incidents that people are still not aware of Transformers 6 months from now. I hope that means that the Decepticons are relatively contained and not causing a lot of havoc. One thing that I did not pick up on. So when in your summary, Jeremy, you said that the bot that Orlita One discovered was Ultra Magnus. How could you tell? Because I looked at it and I was like, who is that?
So when you, I mean, I could be wrong, but when you look at, I was about to show the thing. I don't think I can show it on here. When you look at the battle scene in RC's flashback with Ultra Magnus there, and particularly like the circle in his waist, I think I noticed that. Let me go back to the, I just thought there was a lot of circles in the kind of destroyed body. Also the helmet, the head kind of resembled Ultra Magnus' helmet. Okay. So, I mean, I could be completely wrong, but that's kind of what I thought it was. And it would make sense for the story.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was like, I thought that maybe that was just a mystery for a future issue that they weren't going to tell us who the body was.
But, I'm sure it is, but you know, yeah, some of us are smarter than others.
I'm just explaining.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. A giant figure, and then you know, when you look at the size difference between RC and Ultra Magnus, he's immense in this continuity. So I just, in my mind, that's who it would have to be.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing, I mean, I will, like you mentioned it, Jeremy, the body count. I mean, we're killing off featured named Transformer characters left and right here. Like I was thinking like the first couple of pages, like, okay, you're killing off Huffer. Okay, that's fine. You're killing off Warpath. Okay, yeah, that's fine. You're killing off Cup? You're killing off Cup just in a flashback? Really? Wow. Okay. Well,
I don't think that's a flashback. I think that's current day on Cybertron.
Oh, okay.
All but right. Still, well, yeah.
I mean, yeah, we're going through characters. I mean, we've got hundreds and hundreds of characters to go through for Transformers. So, I mean, we're not running out of characters, but
no character is sacred in this continuity.
Yeah. Yeah, killing Cup is killing Cup so quickly after introducing him, like, is a big deal. Killing Starscream after just one story arc is kind of a big deal. So that's kind of surprising. But yeah, I mean, it's comics, so anyone can come back. You know, no one's truly dead except Uncle Ben, right? So, you know, all these characters could come back eventually at some point.
But, yeah, I mean, if you look at like in the panel I referenced at the end, where Optimus is looking at that room, and I mentioned Jetfire because you can see him in the foreground of that panel.
Right.
They bring Jetfire back, who died in the first issue. That kind of tells you that, yeah, anyone can come back.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, so.
Jetfire was my assumption as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's our comic review.
All right, yeah, so. 4 more weeks. Well, no, actually. Void Rivals will have but here's the thing. I don't know if you guys noticed, Void Rivals is taking a month off, apparently, at least according to the schedule at the end of this book, because it says Void Rivals number 9 is coming May 22nd.
Well, no, Void Rivals number 8. I'm sorry, that's Transformers number 8. May 8th for that. April 17th for Cover Commander, 24th for Duke, and yeah, May 22nd. That, wow.
So yeah, so we're not getting new Void Rivals for a little while. So Springer, you got to wait for Springer for a long time. So
hopefully it's not just a one-page cameo.
Yeah.
Sorry, Daryl. We got 2 more weeks of G.I. Joe the next 2 weeks.
Business trips. I have business trips. Told you about. I'm away. I'll just put my reviews in now. They suck. Those books suck. And I have no business being on this show.
That's a great segue to our feedback.
Yeah. So let's transition to some feedback. All right, so we've got just one bit of feedback from episode 384, and this is another comment left on YouTube, on the YouTube video for feedback, and this is from The Rev Nation, who has commented before, and they say, let's get us some Angry Daryl merch. The Energon universe may turn into a gold boon for Transmissions just by avoiding Transformers altogether. I think gold boon is gold mine, maybe. I think that's maybe a slang from a non-American English slang there.
This is crazy. I can't be mad without people being happy about it.
Well, we should have like a caricature of you, kind of like the critic cartoon character, just saying it sucks.
Yeah, the t-shirt.
I just want to be mad.
People are like, yes.
Or like a mug.
Feed your anger.
It nourishes the fandom.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Thank you, the Rev Nation, for sending in your comment. Every comment that encourages us to keep reviewing G.I. Joe comics is music to my ears. So keep them coming.
Daryl needs the support.
You're killing me.
All right, well, that takes us to the end of this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. What did you think of the newest Transformers comics? Send us your feedback. You go to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. Send a comment on the YouTube videos. All the ways you can send in feedback. Let us know what you thought of this latest comic. And of course, at the end of every episode, we give a shout out to our masterpiece Donatrons. These are the folks who continue to support the podcast at our highest level on Patreon. And that's why we think they deserve a mention in every episode we do. So thank you once again to John for X11Good and DemonTech82. We really appreciate your support. And Char, we appreciate your support as well. Thank you again for hanging out with us this week on Transmissions and Transmissions Alt Mode. And why don't you tell everyone where they can find your stuff online?
Okay, great. So yeah, I'm always happy to be on when I'm available. So you can find me on the site formerly known as Twitter and Instagram at RoboPaulo, also on the Transmissions Discord, which is transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. That's a fun community to be on. I only really post my art on Instagram and I almost said Discord, but I do post it there too, but like on Twitter, but the Transmissions Discord's really like where I do comment on things more regularly. It's a very positive community, so I highly encourage you to join if you're not part of it.
Awesome. And we're not even going to celebrate you getting the URL right anymore because it's so consistent now. Yeah. You're doing it every time, so we don't have to call it out because you're just perfect there.
Called it out.
Yeah, you did. No, but it's kind of like you know the big bot thing. It's like it's an ongoing joke. There was a joke that I couldn't get it right, and now I am getting it right, so it's good.
Yep, awesome. All right, everyone. Thanks again for watching and listening. We'll see you next time. Bye bye.
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 Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. Want some cool Transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our Transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.